what you're talking about. One of the points that you made earlier is what you established with this initial assessment resolution is the maximum you can charge this year. With the final resolution, final assessment resolution, you can charge less but not more. This resolution contains a description of the exemptions. If you go to page 14 and 15 of the resolution in particular, there's some sections there, section X and section Y, that deals with assessments, excuse me, exemptions. And the section X refers to the institutional property exemption. I will tell you just in a nutshell that the exemptions that are discussed here and that are approved here track right down the line the exemptions that were approved in the resolution that you adopted in September.
What number was that?
The resolution that you adopted
September.
In September.
Yeah.
September. It was 2014-something dash. That's exactly. Wait a minute. I have it right here. That's resolution 14-09-05.
Okay. And that those are the same thing that we adapted.
Yes, sir.
And that resolution back in September.
Correct. Yes, sir. And I know that's the case because I looked specifically at it in answer to some questions that Commissioner Smith and I have reviewed before tonight's meeting. So we've gone through this, and these exemptions are directly in line with the exemptions.
And that's what we said we would do.
Yes, sir, that is what you said you would do. So you've done just what you said you would do, no more, no less. The institutional property provision in Section X, again, makes it clear, and we added some language to make it clear that the exemption for institutional property is based upon the building use on the property. So, a nonprofit corporation can own a piece of property, and so that generally you would expect it might fall within the definition of an institutional property exemption, but if that nonprofit corporation is using the building on that property for a retail sales center of some sort, then it's not going to get an exemption, and it will go, using that building use, it will be assessed as it is used. Same thing with if there were residential rentals or something like that. So the institutional property exemption is intended to be a pure institutional property exemption where there's some benefit being provided to the community through the institution, through the nonprofit, through the institutional property, such as churches, fraternal organizations, and things like that. Those are the types of building uses that would be exempt. With regard to Section Y, all of the other exemptions. All of the other exemptions.
14.
I got a question. Okay, if it's say Salvation Army and they're taking used equipment in and selling it at a thrift store. Okay, how would you determine their status? They're making money, but they're using used equipment used materials to sell.
They would be classified as a retail retail facility.
I don't see that.
Yep. Yes. The nonprofit, again, Salvation Army, if they had a church facility, and they do in some locations, if they had a church facility, then that would be an exempt property. The retail commercial use area,
right.
That would be not exempt. That would not be exempt. That would be charged the assessment for that building use square footage that's the retail area.
So that means Goodwill is
owned by a company.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, it's a 501(c)(3).
So it's not based upon, the point of it all is it is not based upon the owner's name or whether they are a nonprofit or a for-profit corporation. It is based upon the use of the property. Because the use of the of a property as a true institutional use creates an additional benefit to the community, a fraternal organization or something like that gives a benefit to the community, and they don't charge a fee for that benefit. A retail use or a rental property or something like that, that generates a profit back to the entity, and if they're generating a profit, they're not giving that extra community benefit. They're in the business, and if they're in business, then they should pay their fair share of the assessment cost.
But then that's
how we get there.
Even if it's a 501, even if it's a 501K, it has nothing to do with it.
Yes, sir. It's the actual true use, not the ownership title.
It was like all the issues we have with the churches calling that were going crazy at the very beginning because they owned
restores
100,000 square foot, you know, sanctuary and educational buildings, but the house that had two or three residential homes on their site. They're owned by the church, but they're rentals.
Yeah.
And so the sanctuary is exempt, the educational buildings are exempt, but the residential homes that they rent are 292. I think one of them had a food pantry that would be charged because it was a residential home. They're running a food pantry out of, but the church facility, the use of those facilities, and that was their biggest thing that we had to deal with. We contacted every church in Lehigh. They explained to them, looked them up individually, and said, this is how you're going to be charged.
Commissioner Smith, it gets back to the fair and equitable concept. If there is that nonprofit, that extra benefit to the community being provided, that should be recognized. If they're just like another retail establishment, they ought to be treated and pay the assessment like any other retail establishment. So that's, we took pains to make sure we got that real clear for everybody. The other exemptions are described there in section Y, and those exemptions again track the exemptions that we listed in the resolution that was adopted in September, and you can see those there. And then on page 15, we specifically refer to the statutes that have those exemptions in them, and the idea was that by referring to the statutes, we add credibility to us granting those exemptions. These are all whole exemptions, complete full exemptions, not partials. We've had some discussion about partial versus